Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist of Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on the Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 284. I'm Josias at For the Villain on Twitter, at comic_syndicate on Instagram. All right, guys, let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 184, we entitled hashtag I Am Bane. This week at For the Villain is joined by a friend to co-host the show where we hit what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Interesting, I don't recall who the co-host was. It was either Pablo, David, Sergio, no, Sadie, perhaps, Pablo, Johnny, perhaps. If you guys are curious who my co-host was that day, go back 100 episodes ago and find that, which constitutes to about roughly 2 years ago. We hit what the fuck news. Bird slams into man's face in bloody roller coaster ride. That just reminds me of Fabio. Do any of you guys know Fabio? For the younger listeners, I don't know if you guys know who Fabio is. He was a big deal way back in the day. He was a weird model, but he was like a novel, like a sexy time women novel, like cover guy, long hair, big buff Austrian dude, I believe. He was funny, but anyways, it reminds me of that because homeboy was on a roller coaster ride one time, like an opening of a theme park, and it's dope because they were like at the peak of this ride, this roller coaster, and granted, 100 episodes ago, I wasn't talking about him. The same thing happened though, apparently, but Fabio is at the peak of this ride. He's happy, he's smiling, and he just splat, gets a fucking duck to the face. It broke his nose. It was awesome. The pictures are disgusting because like all the women next to him and behind him are like splattered with blood. I know I shouldn't be so excited about that, but it was fucking hilarious to me. Find that, guys. Google Fabio duck to the face and I swear something's going to pop up. I'll post some pictures up if you guys want to. Anyways, we hit that, something similar to that. We hit machete cuts off man's hand in fight. Okay, well, that's what machetes normally do. Man accused of killing ex-roommate who stopped in to say bye. That's fucking nuts. And then roll some comic talk, comic news. New Mega Man animated series lands on Cartoon Network. Daredevil Netflix shoots later this year. Deadpool, Cable, Josh Brolin casting. New Star Wars The Last Jedi talk, amongst other movie talk. Then finally rock some comic reviews, Savage Things number 2, and Batman number 20, which was Book of the Week, and I believe that arc was called I Am Bane, so that's probably why it stood out to me. Alright guys, let's see, you know what, since I'm on that real quick, I came across something on Twitter, I want to say yesterday, today's the 13th of February, and yesterday on Twitter I saw someone post something like, how do you guys name your podcast? And writing the podcast and putting them together isn't the hard thing. And the editing and sound checks aren't the hardest thing. Sometimes it's odd because sometimes I'm not feeling it. Sometimes I'm not feeling confident to talk. Sometimes just it's not there. And I've been told that sometimes it's still like, dude, you did a great job. Like it sounded really good. And I know there was something about the recording process that I didn't like or there was something that was difficult that came along. So anyways, honestly, one of the biggest things for me is, again, not just the sound checks, not the editing necessarily, or even the homework or the reading or the writing. The hardest thing sometimes is coming up with a title. I always try to keep them concise with the topics, whatever I've spoken about in the episode, and like what stood out, what makes sense. Is there an underlining theme with what I've spoken about? Bullet points compared to the review. How does my life, my personal experience fall into play with it? And it's a play on words with how I title the shows. And yeah, that's my process, which is weird, and hopefully you guys understand, and it'll make sense. If for all you old school listeners, you guys probably know. Yeah, all right, so let's continue at bullet points. All right, I have WonderCon 2020 coming up in April. So I have a few more interview opportunities to come up for that, and that's going to be April 10th through the 12th. Out here in my backyard, Anaheim Convention Center, which is literally two blocks away from me. I literally walk it all the time, and I live catty corner to Disney, downtown Disney, Disneyland, yeah, for the most part. I'm able to see their fireworks every day. I just love this con because it's the baby sister to San Diego Comic Con. So they put on this show together as well, and it's not as big, but it's growing and it's getting huge. And the names they have that come here are pretty dope, so I'm curious about the interview opportunities, and just it's always dope to check out. So that's what I have for that coming up on the agenda. I still have to put in for my Star Wars Celebration, which is also going to be out here in Anaheim at the Anaheim Convention Center later on during the summer, and press has not been hit up yet to submit their information, so I'll keep you guys posted on that. Next one is going to be just the release of the two new episodes of Deep Dives and Rabbit Holes. This is interesting. I wrote two shows concurrently. I jumped in with one solid mission, and I'm kind of proud of what I came up with. Like, I'm going to conduct a social experiment with the audience, with you guys as listeners. Hopefully you guys are able to play along and just follow me on this fucking deep dive and this fucking weird journey. But in writing something completely different, that is completely different than that alone, like I was finding different rabbit holes. Anyway, so I have two written out that, again, you don't have to ever listen to the deep dives and rabbit holes in any sequential order. They're just thought-provoking pieces. The way I release episodes is a weird thing for me. I'm going to play Time Jumper, Looper, whatever you want to call it, Time Traveler again really soon. I'm going to have to record and bank those up and save those. Not necessarily for a rainy day, but there's a certain date that I had to literally look at my calendar and configure, okay, how many episodes do I have till this spot? Because there's something that I don't know if I want to do, but there's something I want to talk about. And I think that's going to coincide, just land somehow perfectly in my weird world. But I'm proud of those two episodes. Those are going to come out in about a month and a half. But that's the way I work and plot things out. It'll definitely make more sense as it comes along and as they get released. I just have a weird way of looking at numbers and how I drop things again. But speaking of deep dives and rabbit holes, any of you listeners, if you guys have any thoughts, ideas, opinions, topics that you guys would like for me to deep dive, please shoot those over. I know a bunch of you, when we launched that particular show, people were shooting stuff out, and I had written a bunch out, and my homeboy, RG, wrote a few. I have a bunch of them banked up still, guys, so there's a deep back burner of just episodes I can go through. So if you guys want me to just dissect something and come across it, whatever topic it is, fuck it. Feel free to shoot those to me. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at @comic_syndicate on Instagram, and actually at @comicsyndicate1 on Twitter as well. Feel free to hit me up, guys. All right, what else we have? Just please drop a review for the Comic Syndicate on any podcast app you listen to, whether it be Podbean, which is my host site, Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, CastBox, Stitcher, Spotify. Anytime you guys are on those, just give a like, and yeah, feel free to just share the podcast more than anything, guys. Subscribe and share. I would totally appreciate it. All right, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
2, 1. What's up, guys? This is Sholo Maridueña, Miguel Diaz from Cobra Kai. This is Jacob Bertrand. I play Hawk, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate. Woo!
All right, sorry about that. I got to cut that one. All right, guys, let's hit some comic talk real quick. Comic news, just bear with me. I think I got a decent review I wrote up for you guys. First one's going to be Sony's Master of the Universe is reportedly destined for Netflix. This is one of those movies from Sony that has been in a sort of limbo. They keep wanting to make this movie. And even though there is a cartoon reboot that Kevin Smith is working on, there's also going to be a new upgraded continuation of it. And now they also want to make it into a continuation show as well, slash movie. I don't know. I grew up with He-Man, Masters of the Universe. Those are the plans for that. It's not going to be a big budget movie, although I think the report on that, actually the number is $130 million they're going to spend on this particular movie. Continuing on, Chucky Jennifer Tilly confirms return for sci-fi reboot series. Everything is about reboots nowadays. I don't watch much TV, if any TV at all. I love every type of movie genre, even musicals. Like, I have a weird westerns, like everything I love. Even B, C movies, like bad movies I'm into. I know it sounds terrible, but I just love film. It's one of those things where everything is going to get rebooted, so I really don't care. This one's going to be interesting. Speaking of reboots, Legendary's Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot lands a director duo. The upcoming Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot has enlisted the Toll Hill brothers to direct the project. One of the producers on the Texas Chainsaw Massacre reboot is Fede Alvarez, who is known for directing 2013's Evil Dead remake as well as 2016's Don't Breathe. That movie was very good, very interesting, pretty gnarly. So again, everything's going to get rebooted one way or another. I love the original practical effects for those movies, especially Texas Chainsaw Massacre is a gnarly, fucking violent movie. If you can compare it to anything, it's going to be like Saw, the Saw movies, like Saw-ish, I guess, but it's just a dope fucking movie worth checking out. Next one's going to be Viacom CBS to merge CBS All Access Showtime into new streaming service. How many streaming services do you guys have and pay for already? On top of that, which one is your favorite and or go-to? Is it Netflix? Is it the new Disney Plus? Is it Hulu? What are you guys subscribed to? I'm kind of curious. Hit me up anywhere you guys can find me. I'm just kind of curious how everyone listens or watches their shows. Next one's going to be Knives Out 2 will feature Daniel Craig with a whole new cast. This is one of the movies I didn't get to watch this year. I don't believe it was on our summer movie draft, which is coming up again shortly. But that cast was pretty killer, and I wish I would have seen it. I'm still going to watch it eventually. I can get movies for free at the second job. The last thing I want to do sometimes, though, I work all day at the office and I'm working a second job. The last thing I want to do is go to work on my day off, if I have a day off, you know? So, I don't know. Anyways, it's continuing on. One more time, we have Sly Stallone, Michael Bay teaming up for dystopian sci-fi action film. Michael Bay, I just don't dig on his style anymore. Too many explosions, too many too much bombastic bullshit, recycled stuff. Yeah, that's about it. Next one's going to be, let's hit some DC news. This one I'm going to read. Birds of Prey box office is flying in well below expectations. It brought in $33.3 million last week. They were expecting it to be a huge hit, which I guess would be about $50 to $65 million to make opening weekend domestically. They were shy of that, about half the amount. Trying to figure out exactly how much it was to make this movie. But trip out on this news that I read over the weekend, and I thought it was hilarious and stupid, like a weird move to make from Warner Brothers. Birds of Prey movie. Theaters open, update the title to focus on Harley Quinn. The original title was Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn. All right, has undergone a significant change. Only a few days after arriving in theaters, movie theater chains have updated the film's title on their websites to now read Harley Quinn, Birds of Prey. Okay, I'm pretty sure if you guys saw the preview, you guys know who Harley Quinn is. I'm a classic Harley Quinn fan. So that means the Paul Dini, but Batman the Animated Series Harley Quinn. Anything that's been written about her since then is terrible. Margot Robbie, I love and adore. She's gorgeous. I love her acting. She's a terrible Harley Quinn. Like, there's no way around it. And that accent, it kills. It grates. But they had to change the title of this, guys. And Warner Brothers and DC Cinematic even doubled down on this news. So report Birds of Prey's new name change is not an official title change. Right? Scratching your head? The title change for Birds of Prey and the Fantabulous Emancipation of One Harley Quinn at movie theater chains is not an official change for the film, according to a new report. Okay, this is just hilarious to me on several accounts. Let me see. This weekend, this movie dropped, Birds of Prey and Edge of Tomorrow were trending, and I checked Twitter just about every day. I literally put up a commercial to whore out the podcast. Anyways, as I'm doing that, I come across Birds of Prey and Edge of Tomorrow. I'm like, holy shit, Edge of Tomorrow is trending. I'm like, they're finally going to make a sequel. The funny thing is that everyone is scratching their heads like, DC, you fucked up again. Like, you thought people wouldn't know what type of movie it was or who the character involved was when the whole preview trailer is Harley Quinn. So you have to change it to just Harley Quinn now first and then Birds of Prey. And everyone's talking shit like, this reminds me of Edge of Tomorrow. Hashtag Edge of Tomorrow. So that's why it was trending. Edge of Tomorrow was one of those movies that had a title change as well. Like, it came out with, I believe, Live, Die, Repeat was the initial name of the movie title. Once the movie came out, they changed it for whatever reasons. And once it got released on DVD, I think they changed it back to Live, Die, Repeat. So nobody really knows what movie the movie is. It's based on a novel. I think it's a manga title for the most part. Anyways, it was hilarious to me because everyone's talking shit like, DC, do you really think that fans are stupid enough? And apparently fans are idiots. It's a rated R movie. It didn't do as great opening weekend. Okay, this week it gets to duke it out with Sonic the Hedgehog. Would I watch any of those two movies? Fuck no. I get both of those movies for free. I don't give a shit for any of those fucking movies. It just was so funny, that weird, odd, hilarious backlash where fans are bringing something out on the internet. And I know it sucks, and I shouldn't, again, be this excitable over it. A few months back, I woke up and on Twitter I saw RIP Nick Cannon, RIP Nick Cannon. And it was fucked up yet hilarious. I'm like, I don't like the dude anyways. He hasn't made anything I care for. I don't like the dude, so I'm not going to support the dude. Apparently he released his diss track on Eminem a few months back, and everyone listened to it and was like, ooh, this sucks. Like, he's going to fucking lyrically destroy you. And he was trending, but Nick Cannon wasn't just trending. It was RIP Nick Cannon. And I'm like, well, at least homeboy didn't die. And then it's like, damn it, maybe it would have been better if he... just the fan backlash. Like, Eminem didn't really have to fucking write anything to combat it, because the fans were doing it on its own. Again, just hilarious to me. Back to, let's see, Joker's Zazie Beetz isn't sold on a sequel. I am one of the few people that dislike the Joker completely. Feel free to hit me up or listen to A Subjective View, which was about 10-15 episodes back by now. It wasn't a good movie at all. Like, it was a good social or case study, personality case study on needing medication and mental illness more than anything. Did it have to be called Joker? No, it wasn't a good movie. Joaquin Phoenix did a great job acting as the Joker. The rest of the movie, even cinematography, was shot great. It wasn't a good movie. It just, in my opinion, so if you guys want to attack me, we can have a conversation. She's not sold on a sequel, though. Neither am I. Next one's going to be Shazam 2, Black Adam, to reportedly film simultaneously this summer. Have not seen Shazam yet. I'm kind of curious about that. And last DC news for today is going to be the Batman first look at Robert Pattinson's The Dark Knight, which dropped today, 2/13. You know what? I'm intrigued. I Robert Pattinson is one of those actors. I was never a Twilight fan. I have not seen Robert Pattinson in any movies. From what I've heard, people that like film, it's like, dude, watch this movie, watch this movie. He's really good in this movie. I should give him a shot. He's going to be Batman in Matt Reeves' new movie. And the picture of him and his cowl honestly doesn't look bad. It almost looks classic, almost noir-ish, I want to say. Granted, he is not yoked out like our previous Batman, but hopefully they can bring something new to the table. And Colin Farrell is going to be the Penguin in that one. I don't know. Pull it up, guys. Robert Pattinson, Batman, and let me know what you guys think. I should put up a Twitter poll and just, you know, we'll do that this week. A Twitter poll. How do you guys feel about Robert Pattinson's so far pictures? We'll hit that. All right. Marvel report. Kraven film character breakdown ties the character to Spider-Man. The character breakdown labels Kraven as a maniacal big game hunter in his late 30s or 40s who believes he must defeat Spider-Man in order to be the greatest hunter in the world. Great fucking villain character for Marvel in the Marvel comics. They are talking about making a Kraven the Hunter movie or possibly tossing him into the next Spider-Man. I'm kind of curious. Like, he's a great villain. So I want him to be done properly is always my biggest thing. Still on Sony Spider-Woman, Sony reportedly plans to expand Spider-Verse with Jessica Drew, and they're working on that. They've been working on a Silver Sable and Black Cat movie. I don't know what Sony's going to do, especially with Morbius, and I saw that trailer, and it looks good to me, so I don't know what's going to happen. Still on Sony. Sony sets 2021 release date for untitled Marvel film. October 8th, 2021 is the release, but we don't know what movie it's going to be. All right, it's Marvel still, which is more Disney Plus. Lilo and Stitch live action remake may land on Disney Plus. They're going to do a live action. They want to do a proper movie, and apparently it's going to get moved strictly to Disney Plus. Doctor 2 conjures Loki, showrunner as new writer Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness has found a new writer in Loki, showrunner Michael Waldron. I'm very curious about this because this is phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Next one's going to be Marvel targets Spider-Man's Sam Raimi for Doctor Strange 2. Very interesting news. Sam Raimi, I love, he's corny. He did the last Spider-Mans with Tobey Maguire. Part 1 and 2, I loved part 2, especially with Dr. Octopus, such a great villain, and it was great to see those fight scenes, and even that subway scene was fucking dope, or train. So very fucking cool. It has not been confirmed yet, but what he would bring, because he is a fan, I'm curious about. This one I didn't quite hear, or maybe I didn't talk about. Owen Wilson is going to be an addition to Loki on Disney Plus. Now, I'm all for these Disney Plus shows, granted the teaser at the Super Bowl for it, but Owen Wilson, it's just a head scratcher big time. All right, guys, I'm going to finish this up and then we'll hit some comic reviews. This one's kind of cool. Rick Moranis is negotiating a return for Honey, I Shrunk the Kids reboot. All right, I'm a Rick Moranis fan. Give me fucking Spaceballs, My Blue Heaven, anything he's in, really. I love Rick Moranis. So they're going to do a sequel to that movie for the most part. His kid's grown up and his kid becomes a scientist. Josh Gad is going to be his son. This one was an initial rumor and then a report. And then it got redacted somehow and Disney said, nope, this is not happening. And they confirmed yesterday, like, okay, it's going to happen. Now, I love, and I'm going to support Homeboy, and this particular reason. Like, I should probably deep dive Rick Moranis, but we're going to go down a rabbit hole real quick. Okay, so his last acting gig, I mean, he's done, like, small voice overwork jobs here and there. He stopped acting in about 1997, and he stopped acting because his wife got seriously ill, and she passed away. He had a bunch of kids, and he felt he shouldn't be away from them during that time. So he kind of gave up acting to focus on his family, his kids, and to be there for them and to raise them. So it's kind of a weird, odd, beautiful story. You know, you would think more people would man up and do something like that. But the fact that he did it, that's why, I mean, I loved Homeboy anyways, but that character in people I love, and how can you not support stuff like that? And I'm just curious about it. All right, guys, let's see. We got one more. No, fuck it. Let's do it. Let's hit some comic reviews. Both of these titles are going to be Marvel Comics titles. The first one is going to be Venom number 1, Venom Island Part 1. Donny Cates is the writer. Mark Bagley is the artist. This is going to be strictly after the aftermath of the Absolute Carnage big event for late last year, which was dope and beautifully drawn by Ryan Stegman. Eddie Brock using and absorbing the Carnage symbiote to save everyone, to save the world in a weird way. But in doing so, he set Null, this god, king of the symbiotes, free. From his symbiote prison. I know it sounds a little convoluted, but trust me, guys. This is the aftermath, and if you guys want to know what happened, pick up the titles. It's Absolute Carnage. Read the Donny Cates Venom run right now. It's really good. He's a killer writer, and him and Ryan Stegman are working on their next big project or projects. This is something that stood out, and I just loved it. All right, so it starts off. A few weeks back, the devil gave me a choice. Save my son or kill the world. I like to think any father would do what I did. Maybe not. Maybe that's not what a hero would do. Needs of the many and all that. I wouldn't know. Wasn't ever good at the hero thing. Either way, my son is still standing, and Noel is still coming. Nothing to be done about it either. So now we wait and live. As we see Eddie Brock shaving off his beard finally, which is kind of a really depressing panel and scene for me, because once Donny Cates started writing this and Ryan Stegman drew Eddie Brock with this dope, thick-ass fucking beard, it speaks to me in a weird way. Like, I'm like, it made him more relatable to me. So to see him clean cut kind of feels like he sewed out a little bit. Anyways, continuing on. He shaves off his beard, and we see now Dylan, his son, now rushing to help Eddie get ready and dressed up for an appointment he has, where even Dylan says something about this clean-shaven Eddie. And there's a brief interaction regarding what to call Eddie. And the symbiote notices this. So the symbiote's always with him, protecting him. And they have an argument, like, you can call me Dad. He's like, I just don't feel comfortable yet. The symbiote now talks to him in his inner monologue. It's okay, Eddie. He needs time. Eddie answers, I know. It's just, I just wish he'd, the symbiote, you really are going to be late, though. As we also see now, what Peter Parker helped him pull strings for, to have Eddie and Dylan stay with Liz Allen till Eddie is able to find them a proper place. That event was good. So to see the Spider-Man Venom aspect team up is always dope to get. So after that we finally get where and with whom his appointment is with now, as he gets taken away to go to the Arctic Circle, to a long dead celestial where the Avengers Mountain base is now at, as he gets to meet the team and also get an invite to join the Avengers. So Black Panther's there, Captain Marvel's there, Thor's there. And he's overwhelmed. Captain America straight up offers him, all right, man, you've had a shady fucking past, but damn it, we needed your help when shit hit the fan, and we want to make you a member. So just kind of cool to get this invite to it, to join the team now. And as the symbiote now tells Eddie about Thor and how, look at him, how he's defeated Null in the ancient times. So as he meets Thor now, he gets a strange synapse of another voice. So even the sprinkles here and there of how Null and Thor have interacted is interesting. And we get a synapse now of another voice in Eddie's head. Not of his symbiote or even of Cletus, but coming from the Carnage symbiote itself. That's strong enough to even drown out his own symbiote. Eddie, I can't hear you. as Eddie gives his thanks, but you can tell he's off. Telling the Avengers, like, he just needs time after everything that's happened. He needs help with Dylan, and he wants to focus on that before he makes any rash decisions. He just wants to bail because now he hears this other voice in his head. And so as he gets back now, we see how distraught he is and how freaked out this Carnage symbiote is in his head. And how it's fucking with him and how it's really sad and fucked up what happens and what he does. So he leaves the Avengers. Cool. I'll be back. I'll give you guys an answer soon enough. As we hear this voice again in his head. What's the matter, Brock? This is what you wanted. Eddie's, shut up. This isn't real. Carnage, you absorbed us back into your mind, Brock. What the fuck did you think was going to happen? Eddie's, no. I won't let you do this. As we see now, what he grabs. And Eddie grabs a bunch of fucking pills and starts popping them. As now the symbiote, his friend, Eddie, the quiet pills. No, please don't. Cletus, or Carnage, sorry, says, take all of them. It's the only way, ha ha ha. Eddie, as the symbiote now is trying to talk him into sense, Eddie, no, please, we can fight this together. Carnage, there is no fighting this. You can shut us out, Eddie. Take all the pills you want, but you cannot run forever. Eddie's, shut up. Carnage is, I'm wrapped around your heart now, big boy. Shut up, please. Carnage, and there's not a fucking thing you can do about it. As he pops a grip of pills and passes out. With a great panel play as he hits his bed, as he has a nightmare. And even Mark Bagley, I love his art, and this is just great art in this. And he has a nightmare now with Null, as Eddie's just drowning in this blackness. And as he awakens to a bloody bed now, with blood all over himself. And he thinks he now has a plan. So he writes Dylan a letter as he bounces and asks a favor. He hits up Captain America. All right, can I ask you a favor? He goes to Isla de Huesos, the Island of Bones, which is an old story arc. I'm probably going to deep dive eventually. And now we return to burn every atom of him off the face of the earth. So in a nutshell, Isla de Huesos is... Eddie Brock has been here before. He was able to bring Spider-Man here, and it's a death trap island where it's just the two of them, and that's the story arc, is him planning to kill Peter Parker, Spider-Man. And it's a great old-school fucking story from about early 90s, I believe. But it's dope. That's pretty much why he's been here before. And as I can continue on, you guys, hopefully it makes, paints a better picture for you guys. So now we return to burn every atom of him off the face of the earth. The symbiote, Eddie, can you hear me? Eddie, yes. Are you okay? Where is the other? Symbiote, no time, Eddie. You have to listen. It's awake. It's awake. And I don't know how much longer I can keep it from, as we finally see the Carnage materialize now. So it's just Eddie, no suit, but he has, you know, absorbed two symbiotes. So his normal black symbiote, along with Carnage, which is the red killer symbiote. And we see the Carnage materialize now and make a move, tearing down this Quinjet that Eddie Brock had. And he's trying to fly to this island, which he's just about there, tearing down, ripping apart the Quinjet. Carnage, you want to kill me? Burn me? Good. Let's all burn. And the symbiote says, Eddie, let me take over. I can protect you. Eddie, no. As the final page and panels set up what's to come. Carnage, was it worth it? Is this how you wanted to die? Begging for your life? Eddie, you took my other from me. I'm going to get it back. And I'm going to kill you. They crash land on the island. Isla de los Huesos, Island of the Bones, and crash land, and the Carnage symbiote kind of absorbed it. Eddie's able to survive the plane crash, but now he's got an island that he knows well, and he's got a killer on the loose. It's a pretty dope horror story in a weird way. Next one's going to be Venom number 2, Venom Island Part 2. This one starts off with Eddie upstairs, stares back around at, oh my god, the stars black out around me as I run, even removed from my other. I can feel his presence growing. He's coming. Null is coming. But before I can do anything to stop it, if I can, I have to burn the darkness out of my shadow. My other has been corrupted by the symbiote that Cletus Cassidy wore. His mania, his evil, still alive inside of it. But so is my other, inside of that thing, attached to it, keeping it at bay. I will not leave you, dying with that carnage wrapped around it, I promise. The way Donnie Cates has been writing the symbiote and this, it's a symbiotic bond, of course, but the fact that they both have, the symbiote has a character, and it's got, I don't want to say feelings or emotions, but it does. Like, they talk to each other. They're friends. They've bonded so much. I mean, it's a bromance, and it's pretty adorable to see, but I just love stuff like that. And with Eddie, you know, now promising he's going to save his friend, his symbiote. A lifetime ago, my other and I lived on this island for months. We created tunnels and safe houses for ourselves. So, yeah. Defenses in case trouble ever came. So I know every inch of this land. Memories that my other shares. If the Carnage symbiote knew them, I'd be dead by now. Which means my other is protecting me. Protecting its mind from the Dark One. I can't imagine the pain it's in. Still, like Eddie's still worried about and wanting to protect his friend, the symbiote. But I force myself to anyways. Hate is fuel for war. As he's prepping now and getting ready to go to war. And again, the panels are dope because we see him getting ready for work and strapping up guns, machetes, knives, fire, like everything. Now he has a simple man without his symbiote, without any powers now, trying to fight this symbiote, evil symbiote. So after all these scenes, pages, and panels, we finally get what Dylan is experiencing now with nightmares of Null. So it jumps back down to his son Dylan and what he did, or even what he has now, as he's hanging out with Normie, so Norman Osborn's grandson, and is worried about him tripping now and screaming about this Black King. So Dylan is tripping balls, where we now see the direct thing he's been hiding and has kept. There was something that happened in Absolute Carnage. Again, go check it out or listen to my review. But it's something interesting that Dylan is able to do, and something that he was able to steal or walk away with, or is really gnarly, and he's been hiding. Dylan says, "I'm sorry, I won't keep you in a cage anymore." So a weird yet cool and odd twist, as the title now jumps back again to Eddie and his own stomping grounds, ready to raise his own sort of hell, knowing that he has nothing else to rely on but himself and his own, ingenuity. I mean, his own thought, his own brain patterns, just like, all right, it's time to go to work. Let's fucking ding, ding, bitch. Let's do this. He has nothing else to rely on. Okay, so the will to keep moving and just fight. Keep on fighting. And even when he knows he's done, he's calling out the darkness. Eddie's flamethrower is old, but not much left in the tank. That's fine. It was only to make a statement anyways. This island is mine. This is my war. And we fight it on my own terms. I know you can hear me out there. Let's talk. If you don't believe that I will kill every living thing on this island to get to you, you must not know me as well as you think you do. So I'll make you a deal. Release my other. Give me back my friend. And you can have this place. No one will ever bother you. No one will ever know you're here. You'll be free. I'll see to it. And if not, then we all burn together. As things get more intense now in the title, the symbiote snaking around through the sand, it just, these pages and panels are dope. Damn it, Brock should have seen that coming. Move. You need to. As we see the symbiote pop up around him. It even catches a hold of Eddie's hand. And it literally latches onto his hand. And like thorns, knives just stabbing at him. And I can feel it digging into me. Can't get free. There's carnage. A deal? Eddie, you don't think that we will take you and make you watch, powerless through your own eyes, as your body shuffles and dances to our songs, as it slits the throats of every baby on earth. You really haven't been paying attention. I'm sorry, as we get this from Eddie. If you can hear me in there, I'm sorry. He feels he's failed, and he's failed his friend. Carnage, big threats, big man. You don't have the stones, Brock. You wouldn't hurt your precious other. Eddie answers, you know what? You're right. I'm coming back for you, I promise, as he makes a move and does something extremely gnarly for Eddie Brock. He wants to save his friend, and again, like I said, the Carnage symbiote latched onto his hand, and Eddie does something gnarly and busts out a machete and chops off his own hand just to free himself. I love this title. Issue number 23 dropped yesterday, I believe. It's worth checking out if you guys want to know any time what's a good DC, what's a good Marvel, what's a good Image Comics title to go to. IDW, hit me up. I'm always cool for that. And if you guys like these reviews, again, share the podcast more than anything. I have about 6 more episodes I'm going to put out, just strictly Comic Syndicate. I'm going to record the deep dives and rabbit holes, but put those out when I need a breather. And after that last one, I know I'm going to need a breather. But yeah, that's the way I work. I'm a time fucking traveler. All right, guys, share the podcast more than anything. I'm at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Share us, rate us, but definitely like-minded individuals, anyone that would dig the podcast or just random news, feel free. Please, I implore you to please share the podcast. All right, guys, I'll catch you guys next week. You guys are always awesome. Peace out.